I've read the fiery gospel written burnished rows of steel. As you deal with my condemner, so with you my grace shall deal. Let the hero born of woman crush the serpent with his heel, since God is marching on.
All right, welcome to Christian Overcomers, and thank you for joining us for this Bible study. Revelation 18a, Startling Truth About Economic Babylon and Capitalism. You know, when thinking of the New World Order, many of us conservatives have envisioned worldwide socialism or worldwide communism. And that may be true under the Ten Kings and the Antichrist, but it isn't true for Mystery Babylon. And that's something that really struck me here recently. You know, Mystery Babylon's great men, as we're going to find out in this chapter, are the merchants of the earth. In other words, Mystery Babylon, this system that God very much disapproves of, is controlled by what many consider to be the most successful capitalists of the world. Now, before you start panicking and thinking I'm promoting socialism or something like that, hang on, you're going to see what we're talking about here. It isn't the type of capitalism that Jesus taught in, I think it's Luke chapter 12, the parable of the talents. This is something different. But hang with me, and I hope will open to your eyes to many things. All right, first off, America's two great idols. Now, hear me out on this. I know when you're looking at these, you might be thinking, "These, how could these be idols? These are symbols of America's greatness and things like that. The Statue of Liberty and the bull that sits outside of Wall Street." You know, ancient Israel was guilty of idolatry. They worshipped Ishtar and all kinds of other mother goddesses. And they also worshipped, if you remember, the golden calf. Even right after God used Moses to deliver the Israelites from Egypt, one of the first things they did was they made a golden calf. Now, I find it interesting. Now, for many years, I considered this as just being just a symbol. But now I'm starting to see it in a different light. Because especially because of what's happening. And there's a whole history behind this symbol. It really is. It's the goddess of liberty. That's where it came from. Study it. Do a little historical research on it. We might even point it out in a little bit. Not in this study, but maybe in a future study. In other words, these two symbols actually represent America's greatest sins today. And that is the worship of liberty, not liberty like that Christ has given us, but the liberty to do what thou wilt. In other words, we can have homosexual marriage, we can have abortions, we can do whatever we want, just free reign. And then, over here, we have the worship or the lust. The thing, this represents the lust for materialism and personal gain, or the love of money. I know, I've considered myself a conservative and a patriot my entire life, ever since I can remember. And what's hard is when you start seeing that the Bible actually, we look at liberalism, and I'm going to show you some slides. We'll talk about this in a little bit, but you look at liberalism and you see so much ungodliness preached in its doctrine, if that's what you want to call it, in its philosophy. that, you know, we Christians, we take the opposite of what liberalism is, and we say, well, we're a conservative. Because conservatives teach, family values and so on and so forth. And there are many great people who consider themselves conservatives. But I want you to think about something. You know, we're often presented with two options that lead to the same place. We can either, you know, when we're getting our news, we can get the mainstream leftist media, which dominates, or we can get alternative news from people like Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, Mark Levin, and many others these days. But what I've discovered is that those on the left, the liberalism, they're promoting religious Babylon. And what's been kind of alarming to me, especially after really researching this the last few months on Babylon, is that conservatism, now this isn't a blanket statement, but remember, conservatism is a philosophy, just as liberalism is. Man-made philosophies. And you'll see why I'm pointing that out in a second, but conservatism, through the policies of free trade and things like that, worldwide free trade, is promoting economic Babylon. Now, that's not everybody. That's not the likes of, I don't know, if any of you have heard of Pat Buchanan, the old conservatives, the traditional conservatives. They didn't believe in, you know, they didn't prop up economic Babylon like the neoconservatives are doing today. So there is a difference, but I'm just pointing this out. All right, then we're either to choose socialism, big government, or capitalism, where the government has no control over the economy. And many small businesses, that's what we want. We don't want the government controlling or putting all these regulations and things like that on the little people. But the thing is, under our current system of capitalism, the little people are controlled while the big people have free reign. And this is the problem. You know what people realize, there are faults in our current capitalist system. So what do? They bounce over to socialism. And then people realize, well, socialism and big government stinks. Well, I don't know how many converts we get out of that, but there are some. Then they go over to capitalism, as though there are only two choices. You know, Satan is really wise. His servants have their plans, their protocols, and they've designed it to be like this. And this isn't some conspiracy theory. This is the biblical, or this is coming from the Word of God. But anyways, and I'm going to go to Deuteronomy 28, verse 13 to kind of help explain why I pointed out the two sides and so forth. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. He's referring to the Israelites. If they were to be, if they were to follow his commandments, he would make them a superpower or the leader of nations. And thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath, if that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day, to observe and to do them. So this is the key. If we want to be a great nation, you know, we got Donald Trump out there, you know, he's really sticking it to people and exposing a bunch of, political elites and things like that. And a lot of us like that. And maybe God will use him to a certain capacity, like he used Cyrus to help the Israelites. You know, God can use I know Donald Trump says he's a Christian and so forth, but that, you know, whatever. If God can use a pagan man named Cyrus to protect his people in troublous times, he could use Donald Trump. But there's one thing that we're not hearing from Donald Trump. is we need to go back to, if we want to be great again, we need to become a moral nation. We need to become a nation that seeks the laws of God, that seeks to operate our country based off of the laws of God. And that's the key ingredient that most every politician is missing. But nevertheless, here we go, verse 14. And thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. Now, I want to make this point clear. When we stray away from God's word, when we want to base our policies of our government based off of anything other than God's word, that's going to the left hand or the right hand. You know, back in the day, you had the scribes and the Pharisees who were always fighting each other, much like the Republicans and the Democrats. But there were few that actually truly sought for the kingdom of God. And they later became Christians, followers of Christ. But anyways, the point is, there are ideologies, philosophies that are on the right, and there are ideologies or philosophies that are on the left, and they both are forms of idolatry. They're forms of other gods. It's so plain right here. When we stray away from God's commands, it leads us into idolatry. You know, what really alarmed me in the recent years was, you know, seeing the rise of the Tea Party and stuff, and that's great. There are many great people in the Tea Party. But then seeing that they were promoting Ayn Rand and saying, I am John Galt and things like that. Maybe I'll get more into Ayn Rand. But she was an atheist who mocked the scriptures. She mocked the scriptures that say the love of money is the root of all evil. And she came up with her whole work is to try to say that it's good to be greedy, because it ends up benefiting everybody else. It's good to be driven for selfish purposes. And she's erected it into a god. Unfortunately, we have leaders such as Rush Limbaugh, or radio people like that are conservatives like Rush Limbaugh. And again, many in the Tea Party and many other conservatives actually praise Ayn Rand's philosophies. That's dangerous. Especially when you dig deep and you understand the mystery of the serpent seed. All right, I'm not going to go much more into that there, but men's philosophies, placing men's philosophies, whether you're on the right or the left, becomes idolatry. Now here we go, Matthew chapter 6, verse 31. Here's what we should be doing. Therefore, take no thought, Jesus speaking here, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But here it is. Instead of seeking all the material things first, instead of having that be your goal, this is what Jesus says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, I'm going to say this. You know, really what we're reading about throughout the Bible is the tale of two cities. Babylon, or Mystery Babylon, versus New Jerusalem. New Jerusalem is holy. It's based off of righteousness. It's based off of love, purity, you name it. Whereas Babylon is based off of greed, the love of money, the pride of life, the lust of the flesh, you name it, every sensual vice, spiritual vice. That's what Babylon is. And when you look out at our cities today, we see many miniature Babylons. But we Christians, we ought to be seeking New Jerusalem. So instead of just blindly saying, hey, I'm a liberal or I'm a conservative, why don't we just say, hey, let's seek the kingdom of God. Let's see what God's word says, because a kingdom is a government. Am I saying we're going to be able to establish God's kingdom here on earth without Jesus Christ? No, I'm not. But what I'm saying, as a Christian, we ought to be ambassadors of that kingdom. We ought to be promoting its principles, its values, even its laws, when we are able to, in our society. All right, so two options often leading to the same place. Liberalism to the right, conservatism. Oh, you know, I made this slide wrong here. I got this totally backwards. Anyways, liberalism is supposed to be left, conservatism right, and the center is supposed to be under here for the law of God. Sorry about that. I totally botched that slide. But many of you, you're intelligent enough to know what point I was trying to make. So the law of God is in the center. It's not, now, in this case, center doesn't mean lukewarm or half liberal, half conservative. It means right on the money. And that's where Americans, even many of us Christian conservatives, that's where we've strayed. We're so focused on the ideology of conservatism that sometimes it clouds over the word of God. Now, why am I saying that? Because of what we consider today capitalism, you know, before I get into it, I'm going to let some of the scriptures explain it, because I don't want you to get the idea that I'm promoting socialism or that I'm anti-capitalism. But I'm anti-mystery Babylon. And you're going to see this here in the scriptures. Let's just get reading here. First off, I'm going to go back here to the law of God. Now, what is so different under the law of God is that every seventh year, when comparing the law of God to our current economic system, every seventh year, it was a sabbatical year where all debts were erased. Think about that. That's one thing that doesn't happen under our current economic system. See, God's law has economic policies in it. You know, sure, there are bankruptcy laws and things like that. But we're talking about every seventh year where everybody starts fresh. Then even on the 49th or 50th year, the year of Jubilee, anybody who had land and lost it due to financial trouble, it didn't leave their family. Let's say you owned a farm and you had some really bad years and then you had to sell your farm back to the bank or whatever. At the 50th year, that farm would go back to your family. You know, so what we see there is many people on the right here, conservatives would say that's redistribution of wealth. That's socialism. But that's not socialism. That's the law of God. All right? Now, socialism, we'll get into that. That may be more what the beasts and the ten kings will have. But Mystery Babylon comes before that, and a lot of people don't understand that. And I didn't even understand it really all that great till just here recently. Mystery Babylon will fall before the rise of the ten kings. That is so important. And at our fall fellowship, Feast of Tabernacle studies, we are going to talk about that intensively. There are so, I tell you what, It's like some floodgates were opened up to me while researching this, and it was like a domino effect. Many things that I had been confused about that, there were several prophecies, I should say it this way, several prophecies, you know, about Ham and Gog, when that happens, who is Mystery Babylon? When does she fall? And trying to fit all that in together. And they finally, really, I believe, came into place for me. And I'm excited to share that with you. But anyways, so debt. Debts are supposed to be forgiven under the law of God. That means that, you know, those people that were wealthy, those people that made the loans, they would have to forgive them. In America today, hey, you don't want to do that. No way. That doesn't work. You know, and so God had a law of preserving people even through the hard times. And every seventh year, actually, there was crops were to grow by themselves. There was to be no harvesting of crops because on the sixth year, there was enough produce to last for, I think it was 2 or 3 years. But on that seventh year, all the fruits of the land, if you were a farm or landowner or you owned a farm, you were supposed to allow the poor people to come into your farm and gather as much food as they wanted. That was God's way of taking care of the poor. They still had to work for it. They had to gather it. People didn't just gather baskets of food up and then give it to them. So there are many things we can learn from God's law that are not being applied to our current economic system. Then another big thing, probably one of the big things that people talk about today is how much in debt, how many trillions of dollars we are in debt as a nation. Who owns that debt? Have you ever stopped to think about that? Who owns that debt, and how would we ever get it paid off? Well, if we were doing the every seventh year forgiveness of debts under God's law, or the Jubilee when the land came back to the original family, the original owners, there would be no such thing as a national debt. It wouldn't exist. But today we have private corporations, such as the Federal Reserve, that we are indebted to. Now, God's law erased debt so that there wouldn't be people that could control people with debt. And that's a whole other issue, but I merely wanted to point out that the law of God is God's economy looks a lot different than the economy we have today. A lot different. And it's not socialism, though there was the reset button. And it's not completely what conservatives believe. It's the law of God. God has compassion. He has a way of doing it so that everybody benefits and nobody's oppressed. That we wouldn't have to have labor unions and things like that, if we just followed the law of God. You see, when we don't follow God's law, everything gets so confused, so mixed up. And anyways, here, we're going to read about it. Revelation 18, verse 1, and after these things, I saw another angel come down. I'm going to read through these scriptures relatively fast, and I got some very important quotes from a book that I want to read to you, really documenting that New York City is modern-day Mystery Babylon. I believe it pretty strongly now at this point. And anyways, and after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. and he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the holt of every false spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. You know, Babylon the Great lets us know that in the end, wherever this city is, it has to be the greatest city of the world. Probably in the greatest nation of the world. And it's full of every foul spirit, unclean and hateful birds. I mean, just infested with filth, with immorality, and so on. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. All right, there it is. The merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. That's because Mystery Babylon loves her luxury items. That is the people who live in that city. But all nations have been drinking the wine of her fornication. Now let's check this out. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. Okay, this is the false economic system that he's talking about. It's religious as well. But this is why I really felt strongly to really point out the errors of modern day conservative philosophy when it comes to free trade and other types of things. And we'll talk a little bit about why free trade is unjust. All right. When we read some quotes coming up here. But God's instructions are to come out of her, my people. First, you got to know what she is. And first, you got to get into God's word to figure out who she is. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works. In the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously. Now, I can't help when I read that to think about, Mystery Babylon is a creation of the serpent seed or the Kenites. It moves from city to city to city. Way back long ago, it was in Babylon. Then it was in Rome. Then it was in, whatever city, Tyre. But the problem is, it's here in America today in New York City. And our people have, we've failed in standing against it. So we are accountable for her. America is accountable for Mystery Babylon. Because we don't do anything to stand against it. We partake in it. So much torment and sorrow give her, for she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow, and I shall see no sorrow. Now think about that. Think about our nation today, how we live up. I mean, we're bemused with all kinds of sports 24/7. All of our comforts of life, and we say, well, America will never be destroyed. We can just keep living the way we're living. We can just keep sticking our thumb up at God. We can keep aborting babies after babies and selling and having Planned Parenthood sell baby parts for money, for capital gain. We have got a very corrupt system today, my friends. Very corrupt, both morally, economically, spiritually, you name it. This, if America today doesn't represent these scriptures that we're reading, then I don't know what nation ever has. And what's hard about that is knowing that America has so many good Christians within it, but we also have so many people that love Mystery Babylon and that live deliciously with her, or like her. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord who judgeth her. I believe this is coming, my friends. And I'm not going to get too much into this part today, and I might hear later on in a study or two, or I might just wait till we get to the Fall Fellowship studies. You know, when the Obama presidency put up the rainbow-colored flag in support of homosexual marriage, and when Americans around the country sat by silently, and many of them celebrating the perversion that brought down Sodom and Gomorrah, you better believe that God saw that, and his judgment's coming. And it may come in one day. It may happen so fast, just prior to the rise of the New World Order. I'm telling you this, that America has been used, it's been abused, and the nations of the world are going to turn on her. And we may see an attack like we've never seen before. I know somebody might be thinking, well, the Battle of Haman Gog, God's going to protect America. Well, we're going to get into that. I think many people have misplaced the timing of the Battle of Haman Gog as to being pre-millennial rather than post-millennial. We're going to talk about that at the Feast of Tabernacles or Fall Fellowship. But it's going to happen fast. And here is 19, and the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. So this is a worldwide economic system, but it is headquartered in one city. You know, I've talked to people about this. I've debated friends of mine on this. They say that the Babylon's just a system. It's just a worldwide system. Well, it's not just a system. It's the system that ultimately is headquartered in some mysterious city that's not mentioned in the Bible. And I believe that city to be New York City. And I got a couple slides that I think will help convince you of that as well. And anyways, let's move on. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. Okay, these are what you consider your capitalists. Now again, is capitalism evil? Is it bad? No, but when it's based off of this greed and the lust for money, then it is. And the merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all thy thine wood and all manner of vessels of ivory and all manner of vessels of most precious wood and of brass and of iron and marble. So these are all luxury items for the most part here. And cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beasts and sheep, and horses, and chariots, and slaves, and the souls of men. Interesting that slaves and the souls of men are added onto that. You know, many people don't realize that they are slaves today. When we look at all the taxes we have to pay, and all of the other burdens that are placed upon us. And then, you know, when we look at free trade, what it does, many people say, well, it's great because we have all this competition. Free trade meaning we don't put tariffs on goods being imported into our country. People say that's great, but you know what it does? Other nations want to, other countries want to sell their goods so much that they don't care about their people. So what do? They pay these people next to nothing in their country so they can import their goods into our country because our people will buy them for cheap prices. Therefore, you have slave labor and kids working in factories in China and Mexico and India and around the world. That's all part of how the merchants of the earth get rich. And we're all part of this idolatrous, adulterous system. And the fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee. There it is. It's a lust for materialism. And all the things which were dainty and goodly and are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. You know, God has a way too. When he destroys Babylon, he's going to use the 10 kings to do it. When he destroys Babylon, well, then he's going to turn around and destroy the 10 kings. But he always makes sure everybody gets their punishment. Mystery Babylon will not go unpunished. The merchants of these things, which were made rich by her, shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing. And saying, alas, alas, the great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. In other words, that rich city, for in 1 hour, so great riches has come to naught. And every shipmaster and all the company and ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off. Now, here is the key, one of the big keys here. Ancient Babylon was not by the sea. It was on the river Euphrates. Mystery Babylon is located on the sea. Just like New York City. Just like New York City. And cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, alas, or saying, what city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping, wailing, saying, alas, alas, that great city wherein was made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness. For in 1 hour is she made desolate. You know, all the most goods transported between countries, I think it's over 90%, I can't remember the exact number, are transported by the sea, by way of the sea. And so what we're seeing here is a worldwide economic collapse. And it's probably going to happen at the destruction of New York City. Hey, I think we had a type of it. When the Twin Towers went down, I think it was a warning or a sign from Almighty God that Babylon's judgment is coming. And it even says that God put in his heart to have the 10 kings destroy her. In fact, it says in the prior chapter, it says they're going to eat her flesh, strip her naked, eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. The nations around the world that do business with us do not like us. They're only using us for their gain at this time. When there comes a moment in time where they don't feel that they need us, they're going to turn on America. And our people have it coming. It will at least hit New York City. I believe many of the major cities will be a hit. And that's why, hey, if I lived in the city today, you know, God's going to protect his own. But if I lived in New York City, I'd be out of there as fast as I could. So if there's any listeners that live in New York City, I would consider finding a new home. And if I lived in any other city, I would consider trying to get out of the city and at least out into the suburbs. Anyhow, I don't want to alarm anybody or cause anybody to panic or do anything unwise, but I would think about it. Anyways, rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. Now check this out. We're supposed to actually rejoice about this. You know, I believe this system is going to get so bad, you know, that we're going to see persecution of Christians in America like never before. And it'll get to the point where God is going to tell us to rejoice when she is avenged. And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall that great city, Babylon, be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. And the voice of the harpers and musicians and the pipers and the trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee. And no craftsman, whatever craft he be, shall be found any more in thee. And the sound of the millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. And the light of the candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth. For by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. Now that's how we know this is sorceries. What is that? That's mass deception. That's mind control. And he's saying that the merch, I mean, you even see this in some of our, a lot of commercials that people sell, a lot of these big corporations that sell products. You see them in the commercials, how they use mind control techniques to try to get you to like their product. That's just, it's standard business these days. To get you to lust after that product, they create a need in you that you want it, you need it, you have to have it. And of course, this goes much deeper than that. But the point is, the merchants were the great men of the earth, who we would consider today the most successful capitalists. But I'd rather refer to it as not capitalists, I guess. I would refer to it as the corporatists. Because there's sort of a difference there. Anyways, and in her was found the blood of the prophets and of the saints and all that were slain upon the earth. So we might go back and do another study and talk about this chapter some more. But I want to read real quick from a book called American Babylon by Peter D. Goodgame. Now really what has happened is Babylon was really formed in New York to the point it is today, after World War II. But I'm going to read this. I'm going to read several quotes from this book because I think he lays it out really nice. And anyways, introduction. Today, New York City is the financial capital of the world and home to the world's wealthiest and most influential banks. These banks control the Federal Reserve and the United States Treasury. And they also dominate international financial institutions such as the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund. New York City is also the commercial capital of the world. What did we read about in Mystery Babylon? It was all commercialism. When Mystery Babylon got destroyed, the merchants, the commercial ships, and the people who owned them were weeping and wailing. The home of Wall Street and the biggest multinational corporations, and the home of the world's largest stock exchange, the New York Stock Exchange, as well as the NASDAQ and the Amex, New York City is the market that serves the world's greatest consumer nation. Remember those luxuries on how she wanted to live this fantastic lifestyle? Well, here you got it. The USA and its massive port facilities are the world's busiest and wealthiest. Until September 11th, 2001, New York City was the home of the World Trade Center complex. Now, it still is. I'm not sure when this book was written, but maybe it was written right after 9/11. And even though the complex was destroyed, the city remains the undisputed capital of world trade. New York City is also the political capital of the world by the fact that it is home of the United Nations, which possesses a headquarters in Manhattan. Sorry, I'm having a tough time saying that word today, that enjoys an independent and sovereign status. Now, I'm going to keep continuing on here with different quotes here. After World War II, the global economic system was created by at Bretton Woods, New Hampshire, and the American dollar became the world's foundational currency, pegged to gold at $35 an ounce. Engdahl writes that the Bretton Woods system was built upon, here we go, the three pillars of the IMF, the World Bank, and the General Agreement on Tariffs and Trade, that's GATT, which eventually evolved into the World Trade Organization. Because of the primacy of the dollar, the U.S. Federal Reserve became, now check this out, the U.S. Federal Reserve became the real master of the entire system. And the Federal Reserve, of course, is a private enterprise that is not federal, that possesses no reserves, that is owned and controlled by the New York banks. All right, I could keep reading on. All right. Let's talk about the Iron Triangle. Okay, I'm going to read up here. Talking about those World Bank, IMF, and World Trade Center, World Trade Organization, as the Iron Triangle of globalization, and shows that their combined agenda is of a two-pronged attack. On one hand, it advocates the complete removal of the role of sovereign governments in the free market. Remember free market capitalism? Or in economic development. And on the other hand, it empowers the international merchants, international corporations, international bankers as masters of the global economy. Democracy and the viability and sovereignty of nation states are both being eroded. And in the new political climate, money is the supreme arbiter of mankind's destiny, rather than the will of the people as expressed through the representative democracies. These anti-state side effects of globalization reveal the Iron Triangle as the most effective force paving the way for the all-complete elimination of independent nations and the creation of an all-powerful one-world government. He says capitalism will create world government rather than socialism or communism, as so many conservative conspiracy theorists fear today. It is the ultimate irony and also a testament to the establishment's shrewdness that many of those who claim to be passionately fighting the New World Order are also the most steadfast supporters of the neoliberal free market ideology on which it is being built. All right, you know, I'm going to disagree with them a little bit here, because worldwide socialism or communism or dictatorship, I believe, ultimately will be the New World Order under the leadership of the Ten Kings and the Antichrist himself, otherwise known as the Beast System. But Mystery Babylon is different. She rides the beast. Mystery Babylon gets destroyed by the Ten Kings. So really, in a sense, you have two New World Orders here. You have one that's kind of secret and one that'll be overt. All right. Let's see if I should keep reading some more here. I'll read a little bit more here. It cannot be argued that the power of New York City is unparalleled and that it exists on many levels, including the financial and corporate levels through the big banks and multinational corporations, the diplomatic level through the UN, and the politically and militarily through New York domination of the United States government. All of this power combines to make New York City the world's only city that can claim to dominate the kings of the earth and the continents of the earth, while enjoying unsurpassed influence over the peoples, multitudes, nations, and languages of the earth. Against these plain facts, no other interpretation for the identity of Babylon the Great makes sense. This will become even more clear as we continue to examine the crimes of Babylon the Great and the indictments that God makes against her that lead her to punishment. Fascinating. All right. New York City is the greatest city in the world, the most wealthy and the most powerful. It is the home of the United Nations, which is the representative body of the kings of the earth. But more importantly, New York City is the financial capital of the world. Excuse me. New York's entrenched banking and commercial interests exercise their power to such a degree that their power and their bank accounts dwarf that of individual nations. And they have even succeeded in purchasing for themselves effective control over the resources of the United States government, including its politicians, its treasury, and its all and its powerful military. The king or the president of the USA, since the end of World War II, has usually been just a puppet serving the interests of the New York corporate and financial oligarchy. And as such, has been one of the many kings of the earth over which Babylon has ruled. Wow. I'm going to move on to this free trade here. The system commonly called free trade tends to produce the former results, the cheapening of labor and land everywhere and the perpetuation of slavery and the extension of its domain. And where a man is enslaved, there can be no real freedom of trade. That one which looks to protection against the extraordinary system of taxation tends to enable men to determine for themselves whether they will make their exchanges abroad or at home. And it is in this power of choice that consists of the freedom of trade and of man. By adopting the free trade or British system, I would say really it's coming from the Kenites, we place ourselves side by side with the men who have ruined Ireland and India and are now poisoning and enslaving the Chinese people. By adopting the other, we place ourselves by the side of those whose measures tend not only to the improvement of their own subjects, but to the emancipation of the slave everywhere, whether in the British Islands, India, Italy, and so forth. All right. All right, more stuff. Let me see. I'll read this too. The immoral basis of free trade. After World War II, New York City became the most powerful and wealthiest city in the world and the headquarters of the most influential international merchants and financiers. Before we examine the 20th century economists who have worked to justify free trade on behalf of this cabal, allowing them to pursue their profits with the minimum of restrictions, we must first take a closer look at Adam Smith, the originator of free trade, to find out the source of his ideas and to understand how they were seriously misguided from the beginning. Perhaps the most important influence on Adam Smith's philosophical and economic ideas were the writings of Bernard de Mandeville. Mandeville was a Dutch doctor and writer who lived between 1670 and 1733 in London At a time when anti-Christian Enlightenment ideas were coming to the forefront, and when London was quickly becoming the occult capital of the world. He was allegedly a member of the Hellfire Club, later led by Sir Francis Dashwood, who engaged in gluttony, drunkenness, and orgies, and practiced the do as thou wilt satanic philosophy, and so forth. So what he's saying here is that this free trade system that we have today that's creating a new world order, headquartered in New York City, was created by the philosophies of Adam Smith and others, and it was anti-Christian. All right. And then he says that these changes were helped made to overthrow Christian morality as the foundation of Western society. Jesus Christ explicitly taught that the love of God is the primary commandment and that benevolence for our fellow human beings is the second most important commandment. Matthew 22, verses 34 to 40. These two basic commandments, which Jesus said were the foundation of all the law and of all the prophets, are supported by the warning from the Apostle Paul that the love of money is the root of all evil. 1 Timothy 6, verses 9 through 10. Adam Smith's fundamental conclusion contradicts the commandments of Jesus and then pushes us towards the evil warned of by Paul by making self-interest or love of self the foundation of society, which today equates to the single-minded pursuit of money, which is the basis of modern material gain. Lux explains how the idea that individual self-interest should come first was taken up by Smith. And All right. And here he talks about, so we finally arrive at the truth. The University of Chicago, founded by John D. Rockefeller Sr., should be more aptly named the University of Rockefeller, and the Chicago School of Laissez-Faire Economics should be more aptly named the Rockefeller School of How to Neutralize Governments and Sidestep Democracy, so as to exploit the people, plunder the resources, and absorb the wealth of the world, thereby destroying the nation-state and paving the way for a totalitarian New World Order, all done under the guise of conservatism, of course, and the name of economic freedom and liberty. Of course, it's not just done under conservatism. It's done under liberalism as well. That's why I pointed out that, you know, conservatives, people on the conservative side that support free trade are supporting economic Babylon. So if whatever side you pick, if you want to pick liberal philosophy or conservative philosophy, each one has half-truths in it that could lead you down the wrong path. So it's much better to stay right to God's kingdom by studying His Word and going by His laws that have been with us for thousands of years. So I'm going to close this up here, this study up, with the definition of Mystery Babylon again here. It's a corrupt political, religious, an economic system flowing forth from one city under the direction of one family whose aim it is to deceive the world. And I must say again, Babylon does not exist at the time of the Antichrist and the Ten Kings. Babylon's overthrown and a new system is put in place. And that's something that we're going to get more into that a lot of people don't realize. So anyways, hey, I hope you enjoyed that study. I know we read a lot of quotes. I hope you got a lot out of them. We read through a lot of these verses. But I hope you got the main point. And I hope you realize what's coming to America. so that you can prepare both physically as well as spiritually. All right, do like what Christ said in Matthew chapter 4 when tempted of the devil. He said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. So see that you study it every single day, digest it, meditate upon it, so that you can be a Christian overcomer. Christian Overcomers is brought to you by the tithes and offerings of our listeners. If you'd like to support our ministry, please go to ChristianOvercomers.com. God bless you, and thank you for your support.
Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He has loosed the fateful lightning of his terrible sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah.